you know, Dave, there's a great story. One day, a 7-year-old guitarist came in for his first lesson with Dave.
Right. And he missed and came and we had the lesson. And then he missed the next two weeks. And I think he went on a trip of some kind. But he came back and he knew 5 songs.
And you know that anytime you've had a beginner's lesson, and if they miss 2 weeks after that, you have to start over.
You're starting again, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, teachers, it's Tim Topham here, and welcome back to the Topcast. I'm so glad that you've decided to tune in today, and I think you're going to enjoy today's episode if you've ever been frustrated about makeup lessons. Okay, hands up now if makeup lessons are a pain. Now, I know some people have solved them. There's a variety of different things that you can do with regard to makeup lessons. Everything from I just don't give them and that's it, to I always give them, to everything in between. But today, I want to give you some strategies around another option for you where you can offer unlimited makeup lessons. Yes, you've heard that right. Unlimited makeup lessons through video. And we've got two fantastic guests on the show today to talk about some software that they've built to help you do this. Now, super exciting, even more exciting, is that we are going to be announcing a new discount for Top Music Pro members today. Now, as you know, whether you're a Top Music Pro member or not, you've heard me talk about the discounts we offer. Literally, you can make back your monthly membership subscription just using the discounts and savings we have on offer. For example, our Music Notes discounts on all your sheet music, you can get up to 30% off using a combination of our discount and their pro discount. You can get savings on Sheet Music Plus. You can get Tanara membership at 25% off, not available anywhere else. 90 days free, My Music Staff trials. We have various software courses, sheet music, all of those kinds of things. And of course, our tone-based membership, which is included. It's crazy, $29 a month. For free, just for being a member. So we are adding to that today with our newest discount, and it's all to do with LessonMate. We're going to be talking about what that discount is during today's episode, and I'll remind you right at the end. Our guests today are Dave Hemman and Laura Porter, and they've been private music teachers and freelance musicians for over 30 years. Dave graduated from the University of North Texas with a Bachelor of Music in Jazz Performance, and Laura received her Master of Music from the Eastman School of Music in Saxophone Performance and Literature, and has also completed the Offshore Work Levels 1-3. They've taught music in every imaginable situation and venue, from universities to neighborhood schools and homes. In 2008, Laura and Dave opened the Bloom School of Music and Dance, which now serves over 800 students a week. Welcome to the show, Laura and Dave from LessonMate. Great to meet you guys.
Great to be here. Thanks for having us, Tim.
Absolute pleasure. Well, before we get into the guts of today's show, when we're going to be discussing everybody's favorite topic, which is makeup lessons, yay, and miss lesson policies, all that fun stuff, tell us a little bit about yourselves and your teaching. So where are you based? I think I'm right in thinking you're a bit of a husband and wife duo team here. What kind of students are you teaching? Give us the quick overview.
Okay. Well, we've been teaching for about 30 years, over 30 years. Probably a lot like your subscribers. We started a school in Los Angeles, a music school. But before that, we were jobbing, you know, working for other people, working for ourselves. I was teaching saxophone, Dave, guitar. And I was teaching basically, you know, university level to fifth graders. So when I moved to Los Angeles, there wasn't a lot of work for saxophone teachers because the schools don't have a lot of music in the schools.
Right.
So I started teaching piano. And at that time, I started realizing, you know, with a 6-year-old in front of me, wow, this is a really different. And a lot of these kids aren't ready for lessons. You know, musically, things like steady pulse and things that we kind of take for granted. All of a sudden, I had to start really diving in to what would a child need before lessons. And so I got into childhood music education. And then I started going down the Orff Scholberg, got really into that, and started bringing that back into private lessons and group workshops and things like that. And realizing, you know, getting their bodies ready for
it's crucial.
Right. Yeah. And so that helped me, that informed everything that we did when we started our school.
Right. So when we opened our school, we wanted to kind of build it around what we knew collectively worked for kids. And so the program is early childhood, group and private lessons. And then later we added dance.
Right. Okay. Oh, so you've got music and dance. And what's the music school called?
Bloom, B-L-O-O-M, Bloom School of Music and Dance.
Right. And you're in Los Angeles.
We're in Los Angeles.
Whereabouts? Which area?
So at Northeast Los Angeles. So it's a neighborhood called Eagle Rock. And Los Angeles is
Eagle Rock.
Eagle Rock.
What a cool place for a music school. That's great.
There's a rock. It's a rock. it sits on top of Eagle Rock. It's overlooking
the sun
Eagle
hits
Rock,
it a certain way.
And if the sun hits a certain way, it looks like an eagle.
Oh, no way. Oh, there you go. Okay, next time in LA, I'll have to come and visit and see Eagle Rock.
Right.
How many students are you looking after each week at the moment?
At the highest, like before pandemic, we were about 850.
850. Holy moly.
Yeah.
How many teachers do you have then?
28 or 30.
Yeah.
Amazing. Like five of them are dance, but the rest are music. Yeah.
Sorry, how many are dance?
Childhood part, you know, so we have that and then music lessons.
It's really divided up by thirds.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Music, private music, and then dance.
Wow. Wonderful. What made you branch into dance? Just as an aside, did you have a particular teacher that was just amazing and you're like, oh, come and teach with us or something? Or did you have your own experience?
We had a lot of siblings, you know, they would be waiting for the music lessons and we would hear about children crying in dance classes. And I thought, well, you know, I don't play violin, but I understand, you know, how to interview a violin teacher and maybe I could do the same with dance, but it's very different.
Quite different.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
They are quite different. And so it took us a little while to catch our stride. And we know other studio owners. We have
gave us a lot of advice.
We
didn't do it very well in the beginning.
I mean, a lot of the commonality is really just age and enrichment, right? So that these are kids that are one child, Laura said, one child is doing music and at the same time, the other child can do dance. And then in a city like Los Angeles, where we want to try to not drive.
Right.
Good luck. Yeah. So we can kind of, parents can do words with one stone, but we've learned to love it, really. I mean, it's
all, you know, again, that early childhood thing, you know, finding teachers that feel, have that sequential nature, developmentally appropriate.
Mm. And I guess moving to dance means you need more space too, because dance classes need room, right? So do you have a commercial space and have you expanded that over time?
Yes. So we started with a smaller space with music, but of course, just as you said, we had to find a larger space. We kind of lucked into a great space right down the street from our original spot. Mm-hmm. And so we have two dance rooms. And since the pandemic, we've now had outdoor. So we have not had indoor dance for a year.
Oh, wow. So you've kept it going outside.
Well, yeah. We managed to
it's a whole thing.
That's another whole, we could do another whole podcast on that.
We're lucky that we live in Southern California.
Absolutely. So we're going to be talking about makeup lessons. And before we get into this conversation, I think we should just be really clear on what we mean by a makeup lesson for a music student. So can one of you just clarify that and then we'll talk about how this became such a problem for you that you wanted to solve?
Sure. Well, students miss, right? And that's kind of a movable fact. And we can emphasize attendance and we really want to emphasize attendance, right? But, you know, that can't be guaranteed. But parents want something for their money. And when students miss, we feel compelled to give them something for money spent. And that's the makeup. And the makeup is this generic term that can come in many different forms. But it is something of comparative value to that missed lesson.
Right.
So the dilemma for the music teacher is coming up with a system that gives parents value for the money they spent and gives them something that's educationally sound and but doesn't require a lot of maintenance.
Mm, yeah, and that is always going to be the challenge, isn't it? And so really up until now, there's been a few options that most teachers have given. They've either given a makeup lesson every time and just sort of sucked it up and done it. they've maybe given a group lesson or a workshop or invited all the kids that missed something in for a 2-hour workshop or something like that. That's another option. They've created a swap list and just said, sort it out yourselves. And it's great that some of the school music studio software out there allows that, which is quite clever, I think. There's plenty that just don't do anything. It's like your gym membership, you miss your gym class, sorry guys, too bad. Or giving a credit even, or a refund, which I'm not so sure about. So out of those, what are the current best and worst options in your opinion?
I think there's certainly the worst option is credits, right?
Yeah, the worst, yes.
And that is just something, if you were to take a missed lesson audit of people who are doing that and how much they've lost over a year's time, it would be pretty substantial.
Right. And once you start doing that, it's hard to turn around from that. But every one of those solutions is problematic, we have found. And, you know, we certainly tried
a lot of them
when we started. And, you know, the live makeup requires scheduling and extra teaching. And this is a problem that's only magnified when you have multiple teachers and a bunch of students.
And the group makeup, you know, you're offering this, but do you have multiple ages? And is it really taking the place of that weekly check-in? Because we know that weekly lesson is the most important thing.
And we're putting the onus on the parent.
Right.
A lot of these are putting the onus on the family. If you miss, then you have to call. You have to figure out how to schedule something. You have to, you know, if you're going to a swap list, you're trying to find a time that works for you. And then certainly if we offer nothing, then we're going to have to deal with a lot of pushback.
Right.
It's not educationally sound. They're still missing this crucial weekly check-in. When students miss, then we know that they're going to disconnect.
Yeah.
We know that at the very least, that next lesson is just going to be all review.
Mm.
You know, if my kids don't know, they're not going to have to take a lesson on Wednesday. There's no push to practice. And so slowly over time, they're going to lose focus. So that connection, that weekly connection is super important.
Mm, it's great that you emphasize that because, yeah, the continuity does certainly helps. It's been really interesting. By the way, you make a very good argument about why this is such a problem and why these methods, none of them are quite right. It is an ongoing challenge for so many people, and that's why I really wanted to have this discussion with you. It's been interesting with the pandemic shift to online teaching that I think that has opened up a new world for many teachers. Both those that are staying with online or a hybrid or going back in person, because they now know that it's not too difficult to hit record on a camera somewhere and record something if a student doesn't show up. And so this must have perhaps, was this part of the catalyst for why you like this idea of the video style lesson? Or were you thinking about this way before 2020 happened?
We were thinking about this a long time before that, but we are the users, the schools that signed that we're using probably increased 100%.
Oh yeah. Over the past year.
That we're using what?
LessonMate.
Right, okay.
We're LessonMate. Using, you know, the technology. I think that we've been thrown ahead 5 years by, you know, by having the health situation.
And
student not only are teachers now really wrapping their head around the idea of creating video, but families have now, they've widened their acceptance of technology.
But when we started it, it was, you know, we were starting a school, but we were still working for our other, you know, jobs. And so someone would come in and say, Laura, hey, I'm not going to be here next week. We're going out of town. See ya. And I'm working, you know, trying to keep track of everything because we didn't have a front desk and we didn't have any extra days to do any sort of makeup sort of situation. So we had to, we didn't have a choice. We couldn't do group makeup. We had no time in our schedule.
Mm.
We had something. And that's where it came up for us.
So, I mean, you guys are the classic entrepreneurs. You have not only found a problem, but you've solved it for yourself. And then you've gone, well, there must be other teachers who would value this solution. So why don't we make it available? And so that is called LessonMate. So I'm keen to sort of talk about LessonMate and how it actually works. Can you talk us through like a use case for a teacher and what they would do with your software? And then we can perhaps talk about why the video lesson works so well.
Sure. I think you can imagine, like, say it's Tuesday afternoon, it's 3:30, and Sarah has her lesson at 3:30. You're ready to go. You're in the room and she's not there. And for whatever reason, there could be, maybe she told you 2 months ago, maybe you didn't call at all. We don't know.
Right. It doesn't matter. Why she's not there.
But you're there.
For our purposes.
Exactly. But you're there. You're ready to go. You're ready to teach a lesson.
And you've been paid, right?
So you've been paid already.
So you, in your LessonMate roster, you click on Sarah and you start the lesson. Now, within LessonMate, you can record video right within the software itself. You can write text, you can upload files of any kind, and you can attach YouTube clips.
Or embed.
Embed YouTube clips, so it's not a link. And then when you're done creating this video lesson, however many videos you want and however much information you want in there, you just click send, and then an email reminder is sent directly to the family with a link in the email that sends them directly to that lesson. So we wanted to make sure that now, if they want to see their past lessons and everything, they have to log in to their particular account. But this link, they don't have to log in to see.
Oh, that's great. They can just go bang straight in, straight to see it. Oh, that's really good. Yeah. So there's no sort of stuffing around with logins or anything like that. Particularly if they're really good student and they only miss very occasionally, then they're going to forget their login and all that kind of stuff. Not an issue. That makes a lot of sense, but it sounds really complex and time consuming. Am I going to be spending like the whole, let's say Sarah's lesson's normally 30 minutes. Is this going to take me more than 30 minutes, 30 minutes or 5 minutes? What?
I think it's like 10 minutes. Right.
We have this template that we use for our teachers. And then for those who subscribe to LessonMate, we give you. And this is kind of like the perfect makeup lesson. And certainly the first rule here is that, video being the heart of this, that you're not going to be recording these long opus. You're not turning the camera on and teaching 30 minutes.
Oh,
that doesn't work. No one wants to hear a teacher
droning on for 30 minutes.
We don't do that in the normal lesson anyways, right? We are, there's banter, they're playing, you're playing, there's back and forth. We give little pieces of information, right? This little bit. And we want to break up that information when we do our lesson into these separate videos. So videos are like 3 minutes in length.
Right. So it would start, there's like four steps. The first step is one of the most important steps, and that's the greeting. So it could be 10 seconds, 30, 15 seconds. Hey, Sally, sorry I missed you this week. I can't wait to see you next week and hear all about your trip. But listen, I have a few things for you to do, some review. Check out the videos below, and I'll see you next week. So you're making some contact. She sees your face. She sees your eyes. You're thinking about her. And this is what makes them want to watch the LessonMate, because they want to see you. Mm. Because they care about you. They know that you care about them. So then the next video would be review. And a little bit of review, like we were working on blah, blah, blah. Or, this part of the piece. Remember that we're, focusing attention on this thing, whatever that thing is. So you're reviewing that part.
Right.
And then you're setting them up for new instruction or the new concept,
right?
Whatever next that video. New concept is. And that's the next video. And so these are short. And then the fourth would be just something to inspire them. An inspiration could be, a YouTube link, maybe a different version of the song there. Maybe it's by a string quartet, or maybe it's by a rock band, or maybe, some other version of a song. Or a coloring sheet if it's a young.
Yeah. Or a creative activity. I mean, it could be anything, right? So the review is obviously a bit tricky because there's nothing to review. The student's not there. So you're just saying that step is about, well, here's what I gave you to do last week. I hope you've made progress in that. Is that the approach you're using?
Well, yeah. So for instance, for a piano student, perhaps they're just now starting to, they're just starting to read maybe. And say, so I want to make sure that when we see this line, what is this line called? And why? How do you know that's, you know, it's the G line? How do you know that's a G line? How do you know this is this? Make sure you can answer these questions. Or remember, when you start your piece, we want to look, get you situated. Make sure you know what note you're starting and, you know, whatever that is. Or let's review, what is the key signature for the G scale? And how do you know, these kinds of questions. You could even say, okay, for review, we're reviewing where these notes are on the piano. So I want you to go as fast as you can, blah, 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 blah. You know, these kinds of things.
Yeah, yeah. I think having that structure in the template does make sense. And keeping the video short, so it's not one 10-minute long thing, just like 3 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it is. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. What comes to mind, though, is why would people use LessonMate when they could just turn on Zoom now? We're so used to Zoom and hitting record or just grabbing our phone and doing a quick recording for a student. What are the advantages?
That's a really good question. You want to take that?
Sure, sure. You know, so if we're going to convince parents that this video make it has value, then it has to look professional. It has to kind of look different than the other stuff that they're getting.
Mm.
Or it can't be just a video that we sent them, you know, through the email, like, you know, Aunt Daisy
texting,
you know, and it has to, right. It's got to be a package. It has to have different components and it has to,
well,
it has to look, yeah, it looks thought out. And it has to be easy. There are some challenges. There's fundamental challenges with sending video, right? Emailing video and simply organizing all this stuff in one place. It's a challenge for, you know, kids and parents. I get stuff from my kids' school all the time now, just tons because we're still all online. And there's a little bit here, and then there's this little thing here, and then there's a little thing here. And I know all together it's awesome, but I wish it were just all in one place at the same time. It would make it a lot more easy to digest and certainly a lot easier to understand.
And there also is the problem of what if you don't have space in your device? You know, I know my kids will take my phone and they'll make video. Also, that I don't have much room on my local device. So with LessonMate, you wouldn't have to worry about your local device. It's being recorded into the app, so you don't have to hold it. And, you know, carrying a bunch of videos around on your phone, which one is this one? You know, trying to find a concise all-in-one lesson. And it's also the fourth part of what we think makes a great replacement for the live lesson is that inspiration. How do you also send that?
Right.
And music if you need to.
Right.
And
music, scores, links, a bit of text, and it's all in one place. I totally see the value of that.
And you can save in LessonMate. We have a library feature. So everything that you put into LessonMate is saved there. Whether you put it, you know, whether it's
So if you have the same students learning the same thing and they miss at a similar point, you can assign that same video.
Like, I don't know about you, but I've taught Hey Jude a million times.
Yep.
And then I mean, it would be great if I'd have just a section for the outro, just a little video for the outro. And that way, every time I'm teaching and I get to the outro part of it, you know, I have the opening and you have the descending baseline. And then you get to the outro, you have a different video for each of those, and then you can just reuse them.
Clever. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. And I can see that simplicity, particularly if you're combining a number of videos in one and like trying to embed videos in emails. It's just an absolute mess. And as you say, having them all on your phone and yeah, totally get this. And LessonMate actually has its own app, right? So the student fails to show up, you open the LessonMate app and you kind of just start building the lesson, following the template, record the videos, press send.
And you don't have to download an app. It's a web-based
It's a browser-based. So you can access your account on any device, and it functions on any device. So after you use Chrome, if you're using a laptop, we just ask you to use Chrome. But on my phone, it works on the native browser, which is Safari.
Now, I want to ask you about policies in a second, because that, irrespective of whether people use LessonMate or whatever they do, I think you've got some great tips on that. But one, in your policy, you actually, by doing this, you actually offer what's called unlimited makeups in the process, because pretty much any lesson that's missed, they'll get made up, right? Which is probably a pretty good selling point.
It is. It has been. I think we actually got that idea from one of our earliest LessonMate users in Northern California that was on their policy. So we're like, whoa, and crazy talk, you know? And we included that. So since then, though, we're really trying to get away from the whole word of makeups. We don't even want parents to know that word, really. Yeah. So right now we've changed it to, in our fact page, it'll say, do I pay for missed private lessons? And what we tell families is, if our teacher needs to miss, we will always have a suitable substitute for you. And if we didn't, yes, we would credit you for that. Mm-hmm. If you need to miss, your teacher will do, you know, a personalized, compile a complete lesson for you to review the new concepts to work on for the week. And this will be done during your regularly scheduled time and delivered the same day.
And I think that's why we're trying to move away from the idea of the makeup. The makeup, to me, is something you do at another time, right? So I miss my lesson at 3:00 on Thursday. When can I have a makeup? When is the makeup for that? And LessonMate, the teacher's there. It's 3:00, Sarah's lesson. And whether Sarah's there or not, you're going to teach Sarah. If she's there in person, wonderful. You're going to teach Sarah. If she's not there, you're going to create videos. You're still going to teach Sarah. So it really, it's, and maybe I'm just, you know,
it's semantics, perhaps,
and it's the makeup lesson or not.
But there's no, you know, Dave, there's a great story. One day, a 7-year-old guitarist came in for his first lesson with Dave.
Right. And he missed and came and we had the lesson, and then he missed the next two weeks. And I think he went on a trip of some kind, but he came back and he knew 5 songs. He knew 5 songs because,
and you know that anytime you've had a beginner's lesson, and if they miss 2 weeks after that, you have to start over.
You're starting again. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the, great example of the value of this kind of approach. And coming back to kind of the more general policies, I'm assuming it's, you don't do things like, okay, we'll do this makeup or whatever we call it if you cancel within 24 hours, but if you cancel outside of that, we'll offer you a makeup. It's just, tell me how you run it. It's just simple, right?
It's just simple. If the student is not there
within the first 5 minutes,
we create it. And that's what we tell our instructors, and that, and we also suggest this to all the schools that use it. If a student isn't there, open up. You probably have LessonMate open already, but open it up. And this, again, this doesn't take, especially after you've gotten used to doing it, used to the process.
And have a nice library built up.
And have a library built up. This is not going to take more than 10 or 15 minutes. So if a student hasn't arrived, and then you can start creating this. And then if they just show up, well, there they are. And then, you know, you teach them for the remaining time that they have. But we don't put any limitations. We don't put any conditions.
And we don't even want them to call, really, because that just ties up the phones. You know, that's like, why have all these people calling? And some still do. And they'll go, hey, you know, we'll just look for the lesson, mate. We're like, okay, you know.
That's the issue with a lot of these other policies is that we put conditions on them. Everything is conditioned, right? If you give us 24-hour notice, or if you give us 48-hour notice, or you can have 2 makeups in a given semester, or you can, you'll allow you to cancel 3 lessons a year, and then you're having to keep
track. They're going to track them, yeah.
And then, you know, you have to be the bad guy at a certain point, maybe the policy person. And for me, it doesn't work that way. I'm not a conflict guy. I hate it. I can't stand it. I run from conflict. So I cave. You know, if someone says, right. No, this happened and we really tried to make it and we really, you know, I'll be like, okay, fine. This way you don't have to do that. Yeah. Because this, you can approach it in this positive light. You never really have to say no. And especially when you are welcoming new students in and they're there and you're talking about the policy and you say every week, you're going, every time you miss, we're going to send you, your teacher's going to create video lesson for you and you'll get it on the same day. And they're like, oh, this is great. And you know, it, no one in our studio has stopped taking lessons because of a policy, the missed lesson policy, because it is, it functions.
Right. You mentioned seven-year-old guitar student. Have you got another example of a win from a teacher who's been using this system?
Yeah, you know, I have one from my own. I had a 14-year-old pianist who was getting into songwriting and in composition. She was really upset for a while because her family's in the business in the entertainment business, and they were really pushing her like, you need to write a song, we have all these contacts, we need you to do this. And she was feeling all of this pressure and she just wanted to do her own thing. So I had to completely take her out of her box and did like a long project-based thing that we did with her. I would send her, you know, old like movie clips without music, without sound, and she would come up with
idea
like that. And I just kind of got her out of her funk, and it worked really well for her. And I think other kids who need a sense of their progress, we've had teachers like every month take a video of that particular student, and so they can see their progress. So sometimes, unless you have a metronome, it's 62 and now you're at, you know, 98, unless you can prove it to them that they're better, they don't really know. So having the progress videos, a lot of teachers do that. It helps students like, see, this is where you were 3 months ago. Now look at you.
Right. Mm. So using SM8 for something more than just, at this point, assignments on this lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah. So using it as a library of quick snapshots of where students are at too.
Mm-hmm. Right. Our teachers, we have them do SM8 every week. And it might just be the page numbers and the scale or the piece
right at the very end of the lesson, they just write a few things down.
Kind of in the middle is when they write it down, but it's done. And that way they always know where everybody is. And if the parent's like, what the heck am I paying for? It's 11 o'clock at night. I'm overdrawn in my bank account and I'm upset about, you know, schooling and everything and what's happening in music lessons. They can go on and see what's happening in music.
So I'd be surprised if teachers listening haven't been pretty well convinced to rethink their makeup lesson policy by this. Whether or not they use LessonMate or do other things, have you got any advice on changing policies? Because that can be a little bit dicey, I think.
Yeah, I think we've got a couple of, in our support section, we have some letters that studio owners can send to families talking about the switch. And switching systems is always a challenge. I think the way to approach it is to be excited. Like, this is a change. This is great. You're gonna love this. Love this. We found something that's awesome. And now you don't have to worry about all this other stuff. Now you've got this. We're really, really excited about it.
But to your point, regardless of whether it's LessonMate or something else, everybody needs help with unveiling whatever their new policy is going to be. And I think everybody has to win in a new policy somehow.
Right.
And so it has to be extremely consistent, whatever that policy is. Yep. There has to be, everybody's valued. Your time is valued. My time is valued. You know, education has to be valued. It can't just be a bottom line kind of thing. Families, you have to come to them. And we're all educators. So of course we care about education. And family needs to know that this policy also is informed by good education.
Right.
And I think that's important.
Yeah, and selling the benefits of Yeah, you don't, one, you don't have to sit at a computer and try and find a lesson swap. Two, the continuity of lessons will continue. Three, you don't have to make time on a Saturday to drive somewhere when the, you know, or at 5 o'clock when the traffic's bad. So I can, I mean, it's a little bit like a sales process, I think, for any teacher that's changing the policy. But if you're making changes for the better for both you and the parents and the students, then that should be seen as a good thing. You just need to give good warning and, as you say, talk it up and make it really clear that this is the new way that we're doing things around here. So I think that's great advice.
I don't know if you remember the days before auto pay, but I remember...
Auto debit
from the account.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I remember sitting on the couch with Dave and us having practice conversations because it was 2008. We were going to make everybody give us the credit card ahead of time and we were going to auto debit their account, you know, on the first before lesson. And we were just so scared. Everyone was just going to leave. How dare you ask us for this information? And I'm like, you know.
And now it's an industry standard. This is how.
You guys were pioneers in 2008 doing that.
But the great advice we were given after we had a million practice conversations and a million, retorts to someone being upset about it, they said, just state it and then be quiet.
Right.
Shut up. You know, just say it and be done. This is what it is, you know, right. And that was the best advice we ever got.
And I think our students and families trust us, and they trust us to make decisions that are, as you said earlier, that are good for everybody.
Yeah.
If we have confidence in it, they're going to have confidence in it.
Well, I'm very pleased that we've got a bit of an announcement to make now as well, guys, in that for those people who are listening and going, wow, this sounds like a very cool tool, I need to check it out. And if you're a Top Music Pro member, then we've got something special coming away. So tell us, guys, what's happening?
Well, for your subscribers, only for your subscribers, exclusive to you, we're offering 30% off our monthly subscription. And that's for life.
And that's crazy great deal. And one that you have not given to anyone else. This is truly exclusive to our Top Music Pro members. So just another benefit of being inside our membership with all of our other discounts. Thank you guys very much for offering that to us. And I know many of our members will take it up because you've convinced me of the benefits, and we've only been chatting for 30 minutes. So I think you've done a great job. Anything else that we should cover before we wrap things up?
So we offer a 14-day trial. So you can
check
it out. You can actually go to our website, and I think midway through, there is a link that will take you to a demo page. You can actually play around
with it. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, it's good.
Signing up.
Yep.
If you sign up, we will, if you give us, we just need a CSV file of, you know, you and your students. If you want a studio, then all your teachers and their corresponding students, but we'll set up your account for you.
That's a great offer.
We'll input everyone and then it'll all be there.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. And I have appreciated, since I signed up too, I appreciated the use intercom as well, the little chat thing in the corner of the website. He's emailing me saying, hey, send me your CSV file. I'm gonna help you set this up. It's Dave here from Lesson Mate. Let me get you set up. So, guys, take this opportunity. Don't just take the free trial and forget about it. Take the free trial. Get Dave and Laura to help you input your details. Try this out with a few students, and I think you'll be convinced. And then, of course, you can go on at a 30% discount if you're a Top Music Pro member. We will have the details about that discount inside our discount section of our academy, so that anyone can check that out from today, which is really, really exciting. So thanks, guys. Thanks for the work that you've done for helping us teachers out there putting this together. And thanks for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure.
Pleasure.
So has today's interview got you thinking about what you do for makeup lessons? I really hope it has, because there are definitely better ways to do things. And if you are interested in checking out the Lesson Mate software, you can head over and get a free trial right now at lessonmate.org. Lessonmate.org. But most importantly, if you are a Top Music Pro member on our studio or Evolution plans, you're going to get 30% off the price of Lesson Mate for life. For life. Lifetime discount, 30% off. All you need to do is be a Top Music Pro member, and you will find that discount from now on in our academy. So go and check it out. Grab the free trial. Try it out. See what you think. And I can't wait to hear about how it revolutionizes your approach to makeup lessons. Next week on the podcast, we meet one of our other fabulous Top Music Pro members. Her name is Roslyn Walters, and we're talking all about how she's been using creativity and chord progressions in her studio, composing with her students, creating music for her students, and also helping them compose. We're going to actually hear from two of her students next week on the podcast, the compositions that have been inspired by some of our creativity lesson plans and resources over at Top Music Pro membership. I'm Tim Topham, and you've been listening to the Topcast. I can't wait to hang out with you again next week. For more information about this episode and to find out how to enhance your own teaching, visit topmusic.co. You'll find everything you need for your studio, from lesson plans to cheat sheets, quick win teaching ideas, and guides on how to build your teaching business. Plus, you'll be connected to a global community of the world's top music teachers. And when you're ready, join hundreds of other teachers around the world by becoming a Top Music Pro member and get access to all our bonus content and flagship courses. And don't forget to follow topmusic.co on social media and subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to it. That's all for today. We'll see you in the studio.